Tonight, Proverbs chapter 11, and we'll read verses 23 through 26, just these four verses all together. So let's read all four verses together. That's tonight, Proverbs 11, verses 23 through 26. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. Lord, thank you for your precious word that we hold in our hands tonight. Lord, I pray you would teach us and help us to receive, Lord, everything you've got for us in this Bible study. Thank you for the privilege to be here and help those that can't be. And I pray you'd again help them. But please meet with us now as our pastor opens the Word of God and teaches and preaches. Fill them with your Spirit. Meet with us, please, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Thank you, Brother Penn. I appreciate that. I like the promises of God that are found throughout Scripture, don't you? All the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen. Unto the glory of God by us, the Bible says. And when God makes a promise, He will keep that promise. He will keep His word. That is our God. He is faithful to what He says and faithful to His word. And God has never made an idle promise nor said an idle word. Again, the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him unto the glory of God by us. Now, tonight's Bible study is simply entitled, How to Be a Liberal. Yep, you heard it right. How to Be a Liberal. I am a fundamentalist to the core, and I make no apology for that. Even though the name fundamentalist has been besmirched by many a critic, I am a fundamentalist, and I make no bones about it. I'm a fundamentalist to the core, but there is something that I want to be even as a fundamentalist, and that is I want to be a liberal. That's right. I have a hidden desire in my heart to be a liberal. Everyone has their secret sins, and I guess this is mine. I want to be a liberal. They say, Preacher, what on earth do you mean by that? I'm glad you asked. I mean, I want to be a liberal fundamentalist. Isn't that like being a heavenly devil or a satanic seraphim or a demon-possessed cherub or a sweet rattlesnake or an honest politician or a handsome sound man or a smart usher or military intelligence, of all things? What I mean is that I desire to be what is referred to in Proverbs 11:25. Look at your Bible. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. This is one of the great promises in the Word of God, and it's about being a liberal. So let's ask some questions here. First of all, I've got to define some things so that you understand what's being said here. What is a liberal soul that is mentioned there? It's a soul of blessing. It's a person who blesses. He is a blessing to someone else, okay? What does it mean to be made fat? Well, what a truly beautiful phrase this is. Well, what it means is to be made prosperous, but not in the same sense of seeing prosperity. It doesn't mean that. One does not have to be rich to be prosperous. If we could get that down. You don't have to have a lot of money to be prosperous or considered such. It means mostly to have peace and comfort and joy of mind. The mind, I should say. I like that. Let me read it again. It means mostly to have peace, comfort, and joy of mind. And I just simply like the fact that that's what it means to be made fat. Now, notice the third thing I want you to see here. He that watereth. He that watereth simply means that as he empties himself for others, he himself will be filled. This is an interesting. He that watereth is the one that satisfies someone else. It's one that helps somebody else. to make it. It fills their needs. Maybe puts food on their table. Maybe puts money in their pocket. Maybe fellowship to someone who's lonely or whatever it might be. This is one who gives of himself in order to help someone else. Now look at the words. The next phrase says, "You shall be watered." It's a descriptive phrase that means he empties himself and fills others from what he empties himself with. So many believers today are full of themselves, and much of Christianity, and I say much because I believe it to be true, much of Christianity today is very self-centered, very selfish and all that. But this individual who is God, whom God will bless, is one who pours out what God has given him and pours it into other people, thus emptying himself and then filling others. But notice what it says here, he shall be watered. When he empties himself, God will fill him. You see, that's what he's promising here. So he says, I don't have that much to give. Well, you give what you got, and you get, God fills you. And that's what he says he does here. He doesn't have to try to fill himself. It's going to be done on his behalf and for him. Why? Because he is a liberal soul. One is a soul of blessing, a person who blesses others. Now, I know we're in the Christmas season right now, but this is not a Christmas message, nor should it be. It's one that believers need to have 52 weeks a year, 365 and one-fourth days a year, to be a liberal soul and let God fill you, because he says, you water others, God will water you. And I think that's a great promise. And remember, God has never made a promise that he did not keep. Now, this is the proper and desirable definition of a liberal. And this is what I mean when I say I want to be a liberal fundamentalist. By the way, I do not personally believe that you can be a Bible fundamentalist without being a liberal. I'm going to say it again. I don't think you can be a Bible or biblical fundamentalist without actually being liberal. Why? Because that's part of our fundamental belief. And so you can say this kind of a liberal is still not, you can be this kind of a liberal and still not be a fundamentalist. But you cannot be a true fundamentalist and not be a liberal. I'm going to read that to you again because I don't want it to go over your head and in one ear and out the other. That's what would happen with me. I said, you can be this kind of liberal and still not be a fundamentalist. But you cannot be a true fundamentalist and not be a liberal. And so I believe that's true for all of us. And simply this, God says that this kind of a liberal is going to have peace. This kind of a liberal is going to have comfort, and this kind of a liberal is going to have joy of mind. God makes it very clear, and God says that the person who watereth is that person who pours out of himself in satisfying someone else. Putting your own desires aside, perhaps. So many things come to mind right now, poetry and songs and all the rest of it, and they've probably come to your mind as well, but I'll not quote those for you this evening. God says that this person shall be watered, and it means he's going to be filled. One gives of himself and satisfies others. Don't think God's going to leave you without being filled. God will take care of you. And he doesn't have to try to fill himself. It's all going to be done for him. Now take your Bible and look there at Proverbs 11:25. And if you want to, you can write in your Bibles and say, this is a promise like. Like what? Like John 3:16 is a promise. Like Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is a promise. Like John 10, 28, and 29 is a promise. Like John 1, 12 is a promise. Like Psalm 147, 3 is a promise. And if you're going to be truly a liberal fundamentalist, you must practice being a liberal. That's Psalm 147, 3. What a tremendous verse that is out of the Word of God. And the Bible says that he comforts people that are hurting. And it's just a marvelous truth that's given there. I sent that verse this afternoon to Janine Williams when I had found out that Brother Tom had gone on to heaven. It says, he healeth the broken in heart. And God does that. And a person doesn't have to face disappointment and hurt all by themselves, because he gives to those who are hurting exactly what they need if they'll simply depend upon him. So if you're going to be that liberal fundamentalist, you got to practice it. How do you do that? I've written down a few things I'd like you to remember about practicing being a liberal. Number one, be a liberal in your devotion to the Lord. What do I mean by that? James chapter 4 and verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Your relationship with God is not dependent upon whether or not God wants to be close to you, because he wants to be, but it's on your desire to be close to him. Notice the verse, what it says, draw nigh to God, that's you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. You make the move. I've said to people over the years when they feel backslidden, and they get that way, we all do from time to time, and they'll say, I just feel so far away from God, and I will ask them, well, who moved? Who was it that moved and made you feel that way? Bottom line is, you draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you, he says, and we are willing to spend hours at a ball game and a family reunion and even in front of a television set watching playoffs. When it comes to spending time alone with the Lord, we just never have the time. I don't know if you've noticed that about many of our lives and what people will talk to you about, but we have time for just about everything but what we need to be doing. I'm not going to go there and read the passage, but I always think about Mary and Martha. I think about how Martha was busy in the kitchen, and she should have been, by the way, nothing wrong with that. She was doing what she needed to do. She was preparing the meal, but Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet, and Jesus said that was more important to him because she was spending time with Jesus. I guess he thought the food would take care of itself. We are liberals when it comes to the things that we see as fun, but not in the things that are most important in our lives. Be a liberal in your relationship to the Lord first. Give him the time that he deserves. During the Thanksgiving season, I challenged you to make a time either on Thanksgiving Day or in one of the days that maybe you had off from what you normally do. And take that time to spend that time being thankful to the Lord in everything and making a list and writing it down or just speaking from your heart. And just let it go as long as you need for it to go, and that would be fine. Spend that time that God deserves. Secondly, I said be a liberal in your service for the Lord. Romans 12, 1 and 2 are still in the Bible, even though they have become trite, they're still true. Where the Word of God says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be a liberal when it comes to your service for the Lord. You can't give much more than a total sacrifice. I always remember the story about the pig and the chicken. And they were so happy the farmer was taking good care of them. And they wanted to provide a meal for the good farmer who had provided their good meals for all of their lives. And the chicken suggested bacon and eggs for breakfast. The pig responded, and I quote, "That's easy for you to say. For you, it's only an offering. For me, it would be a total sacrifice," you see. But there's nothing wrong with being a living sacrifice and being a total sacrifice for the Lord. I mean, every day, daily renewal for the Lord. What can you volunteer more? For what? If you're doing nothing, the opportunities are innumerable. There's so many things that can be done. Get with it and volunteer. That's all I'm saying. And many of you have already done that. In fact, this church family is one of the most volunteer-oriented places that I know of. And I thank God for that. You might say, but I'm not called. Well, neither was I, but I volunteered. I heard John Rice say that he was never called when he started preaching. They needed volunteers. And so John Rice volunteered. Now, God called him later in his testimony, but he volunteered at first because there was a need. You might say, I can't sing. Yeah, I might say, I'm so nervous in the service of the King. I am nervous. Oh, so nervous. That goes to a tune. I am nervous in the service of the King. I am nervous. Oh, so nervous. Well, serve the Lord nervously. That's what you do. Shake for Jesus. Amen. You might say, well, what if I mess up? Well, welcome to my club. I am the captain of that team. I am the president of that club. So what if I mess up? Well, do it with all your might. Mess up for Jesus. It's all right. This week, as I told you, as you know, you prayed for me while I was gone, and I preached my brother's funeral there in Indianapolis. And I said to the pastor, and I said to the folks that were doing the funeral director and all that, I said, there are no mistakes, even if there are mistakes. There are no mistakes. If it messes up, nobody's going to know, and nobody's going to care. I said, you just do your job like you're supposed to do it. And by the way, they did a magnificent job. But you're not going to believe this. The hearse wouldn't start. We're all lined up in front of the church. My brother's all in the back of the hearse. I was asked if I wanted to ride in the hearse. I wanted to ride in the front, not in the back. And so we got in the car, and it was a Cadillac. Oh, man, big, beautiful Cadillac hearse. Cars are all lined up behind us. He puts his foot on the brake and pushes the button, and nothing. Nothing. Did it again and again. And it was the fob. You know, fobs are usually the culprit. And nobody had an extra battery, and nobody had an extra fob. And I'm holding that fob in my hand, and I'm blowing on it, trying to warm the battery up just in case we can get one more charge out of it in some way. And they were they called the mortuary asking for the other hearse to come. Can you imagine what that would have been like? The car wasn't going to move, and cars were lined up directly behind it, over and over, and it wouldn't start. And the director of the funeral home was so embarrassed. And I don't blame her. But I guess, you know, usually when your fob is dead in a hearse, you can hold the fob up next to the starter button, and it'll start. Not so with this Cadillac. You had to open up the glove or open up the center column and dig down inside of it and move some stuff, and there was a slot that if your car wouldn't start, you stick your fob in the slot. And we stuck the fob in the slot, and the car started right up, but we were there for 15 minutes. Those dear folks were sitting in their cars waiting to go to the cemetery for 15 minutes. But it's like I said to her, there are no mistakes. Everything's just fine. You know, if you're serving the Lord and make a mistake, like I said, welcome to my club. I'm the president, and I have made more mistakes, and I have said more embarrassing things than I can count in a month of Sundays. And you've heard many of them from me. I'd rather do right wrongly than to do wrong rightly. So you keep that in mind. Thirdly, I want to remind you of this, of how to be a liberal fundamentalist, is be liberal in your giving to the Lord. The Bible says in Luke 6:38, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. In other words, God is saying he will take care of you. This is the immediate context of Proverbs 11:25. He said, you water others, God will water you. This illustrates it perfectly. And you know, you've heard the phrase, you can't outgive the Lord. I think sometimes we think we can, and I don't think anybody ought to be foolish. But the truth is, you can't outgive the Lord. When you give out of sincerity, whatever you're giving to and for, some Christians have been tithing for years, and they're still not right with God about their giving. Why? Because they figure that God doesn't need 10% so that they graciously give him. And I want to say to all of us that as you grow in your Christian faith, 10% is a good place to start, but it's not the place where you stop, in my opinion. And I think that's a good thing to do, is put God to the test. He says, prove me now herewith, and see if I will not pour you out a blessing. And so you should remember the four levels of giving. I remember I learned this many, many years ago. What are the four levels of giving? Well, there's tippers, and there's tithers, and there is offering givers, and there is sacrificers. That's the four levels. Goes from the bottom to the top. The tithe goes to your local church, while your tips and your offerings and your sacrificial giving can go wherever the Lord may lead. And of course, that is very, very true. Robin and I have always made it a practice that we We give our tithe to our local church. And over the years, our over and above has gone to church. It's also gone in other places, and there's nothing wrong with that. But the tithe belongs to the local church. The Bible says, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth. That's what we read. It says, and the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. And in the same breath it says, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. Every promise in the book is true, even these. And number four, the last way that I think you can become a liberal fundamentalist is be a liberal in your witness for the Lord. Be a liberal in your witness for the Lord? What are you talking about? Psalm 126, 5 and 6. The immediate context is Israel. The immediate context is God's blessing on them. The application is in witnessing for Christ. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. It fits soul winning so perfectly. When you take the seed of the Word of God and you plant it in the fields of this old world, and so many stories in the Bible about planting the seed and watching things grow, so it's wonderful that they're there. And so John Rice says this means to walk about bearing a leaky seed basket. Everywhere you go, just leaving tracks wherever you go. In times past, I've made hospital visits, and I'll find one of our tracks in the restroom. Somebody was there before me, and whatever it might be. And some folks have taken a track and unrolled a bunch of toilet paper and then rolled a track up in it, and so that when people would pull the paper, the track would fall out. I don't care how they do it. I'm just thankful that the tracks were put out, that's for sure. And always have gospel tracks with you, and be prolific about getting the gospel out. The pastor I was just with, he's a coffee drinker too, except he does those frou-frou drinks. First day he took me to this place, it was a caboose of a train that had been converted, and it was all big coffee shop, or a small coffee shop, mom and pop run. And I ordered up a black coffee, just wanted a black coffee. He ordered up a caramel choo-choo. I said, what in the world is a caramel choo-choo? They made him this thing, it looked like it came out of an ice cream maker. I mean, it was just incredible. And so he wanted to take me for coffee again one day. I said, what'd you get the last time? He said, I got a caramel choo-choo. I said, I think I'll get what you get. He bought me a caramel choo-choo. That was the sweetest thing I think I have ever tasted in my life. It had caramel, and it had crushed ice that was real fine in it, and coffee, and whipped cream. I don't know what it was on top. And I took a drink of that, almost went into a diabetic coma right there on the spot. It was so sweet, I couldn't believe it. But you know, the truth of the matter is, in that place, he gives them a gospel track every time he goes. He said they've got a stack of gospel tracks from his church. I said, you do? He said, yeah, one of these days they're going to read them and they might even get saved. And I thought, well, praise the Lord. And I pulled out my track wallet that I carry with me, and I pull out one of JoJo's tracks. And I said, why don't you give them this one today? He said, okay, that's a good idea. He had read part of the track and he liked it. And so rather than giving him the regular track from their church, he gave them one of JoJo's tracks. I was so glad that he did, but it was something different. But you know, the interesting was, every time he would go in there, he said he leaves them a track. If he goes two or three times a week, he leaves a track two or three times a week. See, isn't that overdoing it? I don't know. I don't think so. You can't get the gospel out too much. Who knows? Somebody might pick one up and read it. And what a great blessing that is. By the way, I've said this, we've taught it here, but seed left in the barn bears no fruit. And there, of course, was a prophet in the Bible, Haggai. Haggai chapter 2 and verse 9, in fact, where he made an incredible statement under the inspiration, 2:19, incredible statement under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Haggai 2:19 says, is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, as yet the vine, and the fig tree, and the pomegranate, and the olive tree hath not brought forth from this day, will I bless you. It's interesting. He makes a statement. He said, seed in the barn's not going to produce anything. And tracks left in your car and never given out, tracks left in your purse or your pocket or in your glove compartment or the center column of your car that are never given out, just want you to know they're not going to crawl out of there themselves. So you need to be about the business of getting the gospel out. That's why I would encourage you, if you wanted to, in your Christmas cards this year, if you've got unsaved relatives or you have unsaved friends that you know are going to receive a card from you, why not put a gospel track in there and let them read it for themselves? You see, there really is nothing wrong with being a liberal fundamentalist. Nothing at all. God desires it, and so should we. And if you are to be the fundamentalist you ought to be, you need to become a liberal as well. I wrote down four things. Be a liberal in your devotion to the Lord. Be a liberal in your service for the Lord. Be a liberal in your giving to the Lord, and be a liberal in your witness for the Lord. Those four things are very, very simple. They cover a lot of territory. We ought to decide to give ourselves over to liberalism. Doesn't that sound awful coming from me, coming through this political season that we just have come through? But give ourselves over to becoming a liberal, over to liberalism. Let's be just as liberal as the Bible demands us to be. Where the Bible says in Proverbs 11:25, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. And so it's nothing wrong with being a liberal, as long as you're the right liberal, right kind of a liberal. And so I say, how can I do that? Write down some things that you can do to increase your liberality. Like, for example, if you pass out maybe one or two tracts a week, why don't you make it a goal to pass out five? Or if you pass out this many, why don't you to try to pass out more than that? Or if you witness once or twice a week, why don't you make it a point to witness more than that, at least one more time, and become more and more liberal in your Christianity? And that's my challenge for us tonight, is how to become a liberal fundamentalist.